Good to be with you all this week, as always. You know, what we read in today's gospel in its original language is written like a poem and that rhymes. It doesn't rhyme when you translate it, obviously in English, but a lot of people think it's one of the first like hymns of the early church. I mean, it's from the first century and it's about Jesus, tying him in, of course, with the great creation story of Genesis in the beginning. And John wanting to start his gospel a different way than a birth story, right? Luke and Matthew, they want to tell a story of Jesus, and this is where he was born, these were who his parents were, this is the circumstances of his birth. And that beautiful story from Luke's gospel that we read on Christmas Eve tells us that information. John has a different idea. He doesn't necessarily feel that needs to be told again. He wants to tell the story of who is this person and why is it important that he came. So that's why he doesn't start with one day in Bethlehem or one day in Nazareth, a young woman, an angel appeared to a young woman. He starts all the way back in the beginning, meaning this person that we call Jesus has been around forever. Right? He's God among us. And it's significant that God came to walk among us for so many reasons. And the first chapter of John's gospel, we could spend weeks studying and looking at the different important things that John talks about Jesus brought or the significance of his birth. But I want to just focus on one today. Like I said, we could do 20, but I want to focus on one. And it's the last part of the gospel. It's where John says this: no one has ever seen God. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. Jesus came to show us what God is like. Right? We don't have to guess. Jesus came that in his life, in his teachings, in his interactions, not just in like a one sentence or one speech, Jesus said, this is what God is like, but in his lived life, Jesus came to show us what God is like. So we don't have to guess. And this is really an important part of our faith. We may not think about it as often as we should, but Jesus, his life is the standard by which we hold other things up to that tell us about God. Let me give you an example. True story. Earlier this week, I was reading a story from a Christian site in Africa that there was a prophet in Ghana, the African country of Ghana, who told his followers that God told him that the world was going to end on a flood, December 25th, 2025. So what they should do is they should send money to him, and he was going to build arks like Noah, and they'd be safe when the flood came like Noah, because that's the only way to survive a global flood is in a wooden ark built in Ghana. You know that, of course. Some of you are laughing, right? Because it's kind of silly, but thousands upon thousands of people believed him and sold things to give him money to build this ark so that they would have spots on the ark so that when God destroyed the world on December 25th, 2025 in a flood, they would be safe. Well, I don't know. I don't know if you heard, but there wasn't a worldwide flood on Christmas. I don't know if you're aware of that. So people were kind of upset, right? People that maybe had sold their land or cashed in retirement or given up some of their life savings to get on this ark were a little mad that this happened. But don't worry. This prophet, he was going by the name Noah, ironically, right? Sent a video through social media in his Mercedes that God told him that he had prayed very hard, and that God told him that he was going, that the end would still come, but that he was giving the world more time so that he could build more arcs to save more people. Well, their people weren't happy with this, so they started burning down the arcs that he had started building. I don't know how much of that is covered by insurance or not. I would have to ask an insurance guy how much arcs are insured. But here's the thing, right? That's kind of a silly example, right? We can chuckle about it. Not funny to the people that actually gave their money to that endeavor. But it sounded like nonsense, right? It sounds like nonsense. But how do you know when you're being deceived, right? That's the question. We could tell, well, that doesn't sound like God. But how do we know when we're being deceived? There's only one way. We hold it up to the standard, the truth, the one person who came to show us clearly what God is like, right? So we could say, well, we know that that doesn't sound right because Jesus told us that no one would know the hour, that it would happen like a thief in the night, that, you know, we know from Scripture that God isn't going to destroy the world by a flood again. And certainly, that's not, saving people in the ark is not on the agenda for Christ's second coming. Now, if you know the truth, we have those things, and we can hold this person up to that standard, and we say, no, this isn't from God. But how many people who didn't know the truth just looked around and thought, wow, the world's in bad shape. This guy sounds confident. I'm going to cash in my retirement. Okay, again, that's like an extreme example. But the only way to defend ourselves against being deceived is to know the truth, is to understand the truth. And God did not send his truth as like a little machine that we could just like hold up to someone and tell if they're trying to deceive us or not. Right, like a spiritual lie detector. It's Jesus. He's the standard. He's the standard for people that make claims in our faith. He's the standard for anybody outside our faith. He's the standard for a Christian. He's the standard of what the truth is, of what God looks like. So we could say, if something comes up, or if something's happening, if there's a movement in our nation, a movement in our community, a movement in our family, and we hold it up and say, how do we know if this is from God? Well, we know what God looks like. He looks like Jesus. So does it look like that? It's the only way to save us from being deceived, the only way to keep our children and grandchildren from being deceived, is to know the truth, right? There's no neighborhood you can live in where the devil won't try to deceive. There's no shows you can watch. There's no place you can go. The only way to protect ourselves from being deceived is to know the truth. And the truth is Jesus. Not just one thing he said, but his life. This is what John is saying. His life lived shows us what God is like, what his heart is like, his character, the way he likes to act, the things he'll do. And so knowing Jesus is the way we defend ourselves from being deceived. Now, I don't know about you. New Year's is coming up. Maybe you're looking for a resolution. Maybe you've got 10. Maybe you gave up on resolutions a long time ago. But it's as good a time as any if we feel like, well, maybe I don't know the truth as well as I should, to try to take a step towards knowing the truth. It is the only way to protect ourselves from being deceived. And we live in a time where sometimes it's hard to know what's true, right? It all depends on what we listen to. You can hear one event can have two very different tellings, at least two, right? It's hard to know what's true. Jesus talked about the devil. He said he's the father of lies, a deceiver and a murderer from the beginning. It's his weapon. Deception is the weapon of the devil. And the way to stand against it is to know the truth. So I would encourage you, if you were wondering, if you're questioning, like, how do we know what's from God? we use Jesus as the standard. That's what John is saying. And show us. He shows us. We can hold things up to him and we see. This looks like from God. And if we're not comfortable that maybe we don't know the truth as well as we should, this is the perfect time to commit to learning it a little more, right? Like when we get our driver's license, for some of us, that was a long time ago. For some of us, it's still coming up. But when we get our driver's license, right, the responsibility of driving is that we know the laws of the road, right? Nobody is ever going to get sympathy from a police officer if you run through a stop sign and you get pulled over and the police officer says, do you know what you did? He said, I didn't know what that sign was for. I didn't think I had to stop, right? That was optional, right? Nobody gets sympathy, right, for not knowing the rules. That's an obligation we have when we drive. And God has given us a standard, a person to show us what he's like. The best way to protect ourselves from being deceived is to know the truth. So I would encourage you, if you feel like maybe this is a good time to know the truth a little more, that's a great step to take. Because our world is full of a lot of voices, so many people trying to deceive. And the only way to know the truth is to know Jesus. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.